Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we love the truth, and in truth, love to express the love of Christ, who is the truth. Here's Pastor James.
I want to talk for 3 weeks about what we do, what we actually do, what we're doing. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be about us, all right? Because I don't know about you, but most of y'all don't have, I doubt if, I see you every week, you're always sitting right about there. And I kind of doubt that you have your own ministry going on around the world. Do you have your own ministry going on? So this is kind of your thing, this thing here? So this is it. This is our thing, right? Our church, our thing for God, we're his people, living vertically on mission for him. And so what do we do? So I got three things coming your way over the next 3 weeks. Today is number one. This is what we do. We welcome without judgment. I want us to be about that. I want this to be a place across our seven campuses and anyone else who's leaning into this for their church. I want this to be a place where, listen, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you have, no matter what you look like, no matter what your darkest secret is, no matter what, this is a place that will welcome you without judgment. Now, let's define our terms. You're getting nervous, right? Is he ever going to open his Bible? Fine, Luke 7, do you even know me? Of course this is coming from the Bible. Just setting up a whole series, calm down. You don't think you should calm down? Not likely. Now, welcome. That is receiving appreciatively the presence of another and communicating that to them. Don't you want everyone who comes here to feel welcome? Don't you want them to feel like we are receiving appreciatively their decision to worship with us, to learn with us, to grow with us, right? So welcome, but here's the key. Welcome without judgment. Judgment, just so we're clear what we're talking about, is a negative assessment of another person based upon a superficial sense of superiority. Okay? So I kind of look at you and I quick snap. I think I might be better than you. And because I think I might be better than you, I'm kind of judging you. And because I'm kind of judging you, I certainly am not going to be able to welcome you. That is death to us. I believe that we will be more for the Lord than we've ever been before, ever, if we can really get these things right in front of us. So the first one is welcome without judgment. I've got four thoughts I want to share with you on that from a particular story in the life of Christ. But as I often say, we don't just rip open the Bible and start reading it. You got to kind of know where you are in the Bible. And sometimes the context adds more than it does at other times. And this is one of those times where the context adds a lot. So we're going to be studying a story that begins in Luke 7:36. Are you looking at it? All right. But before we can get to that, I want you to look back to the end of Luke 6. Because God is supernaturally ordering the details and the chronology of Christ's life. And the story we're going to look at builds. Notice what he's talking about in Luke 6:37. Judge not, remember, welcome without judgment. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Pressed, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back on you. Anyone, look up here. Anyone concerned about that? So the way that you measure other people, the harshness, the precision, the insistence, the lack of grace, the lack of mercy. James 2:13 says that judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. And because the Bible is so consistent, because it has ultimately only one author, the Holy Spirit, here Jesus is saying the very same thing. Judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. The same measure that you use with other people is going to be used on you. How's that sound? I think we all have an incredible tendency to form superficial assessments of other people based on our mistaken notion of our own superiority. Well, Jesus was teaching on that. Then he talked about knowing someone by their fruits. So there's some things you have to judge. I'll talk in a moment about what it is we do and don't judge. Then he talked about building your house on a rock. Then he starts rolling with the miracles. Luke 7:1. The centurion has a servant who's going to die. Jesus says, well, I'll just come to your house. He's like, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word and he'll be healed. Wow. Jesus, I haven't seen faith like that in all of Israel. I'm at Luke 7:9. Then he raises the widow's son from the dead. He's blowing people's minds. Then he's talking about the ministry of John the Baptist, who was, John the Baptist was about to get this. Come on, y'all, I need the sound effect. John the Baptist was about to get, right? So he's not having a very good day. And he sends, like, is this really real, what's going on with Jesus? Well, Jesus uses that question to compliment him. Look at Luke 7:28. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And Jesus said, man, John the Baptist ate grasshoppers and lived in the desert. And you thought he was crazy. I came and just hung out and party with y'all. You don't like that either. All that was to get to the story. Long intro, shorter message. Here it comes. Four things starting in Luke 7:36. Here's the first one. Jesus Christ welcomes all who come to him. Now make sure that's in the Bible. Let me show it to you. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. By the way, y'all have a certain responsibility when I'm preaching here live. You know, I'm not in this service every week, but I know you kind of fall out of this. So there's a required sound effect there. Like, I've told you guys before what the Pharisees were like, right? They were the worst. They were legalistic and harsh toward others. Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, you're blind guides. Think of that, a blind guide. He said, you're whitewashed tombs, meaning you painted yourself up to look good, but on the inside, he said, you're full of dead man's bones. Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, you travel over land and sea to make one convert, and when you win him, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Oh my gosh. Like, and in Matthew 23, seven times Jesus says, woe to you Pharisees. The word woe means that the calamity has fallen or is about to fall. It's like serious judgment on you now. So Jesus, not a huge fan of the Pharisees. You could add a little sound effect there. Here we go. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Now, you think, man, you were just giving these guys the woe. And now one of them's like, you want to come to my house? Now, this is what's remarkable, because notice in the text, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went. Which shows that Jesus loves, come on, say it, Jesus loves, loves everyone. And he might have despised the Pharisee system and their awful legalistic externals-focused false religiosity, but he didn't despise, he loved each one of them, as far out there as they were. As far out there as we are. And so I think it's super cool that one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house. Now, having somebody over to your house, well, it's like today, you know? Having somebody over to your house is a pretty big deal, and I've known a lot of you for a long time. I've never been to your house. I loved y'all's God at Work video, but I've never been to your house. By the way, you could ask us. I'm not saying. And do you live near here? Because you could have us right over to your house. I mean, that wouldn't be a problem in any way if you were to invite us later today, even. If you were to. The reason why you're laughing is because, well, even though I know them, it's a bit uncomfortable. Like you just don't invite yourself. Are you with me? You just don't kind of invite yourself over to people's house, but I'm open. So when this Pharisee said to Jesus, not, hey, let's meet at Starbucks for a coffee, when he said, come to my house for a home-cooked meal, that was personal. Personal to give it, personal to accept it. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went, they didn't judge him. He just gladly accepted the invitation that was given. He was welcoming of this hospitality. But verse 37, the story changes just a bit. And behold, that's when the Bible says, check this out, right? Now watch this. Jesus is reclining at the table. By the way, the reclining at the table seems a bit strange to us, but just help me, those of you who have a study Bible, a central air in New Testament times, a yes, no. There was central air conditioning. There was not central air conditioning. Come on, vote now. There was not. So what does heat? Does heat rise or does heat fall? Heat rises. So in the Middle East, in a very temperate climate, it was hot, and so they would actually not sit up on big high top stools. They would actually recline on a pillow and get as low as they could for as cool as they could. And that's why Jesus, it's a little strange to our culture. I won't lay down if I come over, I promise. He reclined at the table, and behold, a woman of the city. Now, a woman of the city, that's just so you know, that's not flattering. That's not like her address. Not like, hey, that woman from Chicago. That's not what they're saying. Okay? It's like a woman of the world, a woman of the streets. Are you with me? And lest there be any doubt, the Bible's usually fairly careful in how it says things. It's clear, but careful. It's not graphic. Behold, a woman of the city, lest there be any doubt, who was a, next word, who was a sinner. So Bible scholars agree there that was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 word description of a prostitute. So you got this big, super self-righteous, superior Pharisee, and Jesus is hanging at his house, and then this woman, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, so invited or not invited? Not invited. So this is quite a play, right? So she must have wanted, and she's going to get what Jesus has to offer. So she was fairly desperate that she went to like superstar religion guy's house and sort of broke protocol, no invitation. She just went right into the house, a prostitute. Now, I've never talked to a prostitute. I've never met one. I think I've probably seen some. Here she is at the house. Notice it says, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. So there's a couple of other incidents in the Gospels. This isn't the Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. This isn't the lady who anointed Jesus just before his crucifixion. That's a completely different thing. But here's this lady standing there. You're going to see in a moment how warmly a Christ is welcoming her. I mean, I think this is just absolutely essential. This is what we do. We welcome whoever wants to be here. There is no person who looks wrong. There is no person who has the wrong story. There is no person who has the wrong stuff. There is no person who has the wrong race. There is no person who has the wrong background. There is no person who is wrong for here. You know why? Because what we have in common is far greater than anything that could separate us. Okay? And it doesn't matter how you look or what you think of yourself or others might superficially judge you. This is a place where you have to experience, and we are determined that you will experience a welcome without judgment. And this is so important. It's so deeply ingrained upon our hearts that this is what we do. It's just what we do. We just welcome people regardless of anything that would cause those who don't know Jesus maybe to judge them. A few years ago, we had a young man and his wife in our church who declared that God was calling them to Africa as missionaries. And so we prayed about it and decided to support them. And they went and got their training, and they went and experienced an amazing answer to prayer as they raised all their support. And they finally bought their ticket to go to the mission field. And we had a night here at the church where we prayed over them right here at the front of the church to send them out with our full support and endorsement. And I talked to the man off to the side, and he said, I could see that his countenance was really fallen. And I said, you know, what's the matter? And he said, well, we're so excited to go and serve the Lord. He said, but my brother. And he told me about his brother, who was the director of a world famous ballet company, who was living as a gay man, and one of the male dancers in the ballet was his partner. And he said, he's so far from God, and I just feel so unconnected to him. So I was like, actually, and the man, this brother and his partner came to the dedication service, which I was super happy that they came. And so I said, well, I'll go visit him. Kathy and I'll go take him out for dinner. So we went downtown and we went to this ballet, you know, not my thing. But I know that it's super cool. I don't have any problem with other people loving it. It's just not really, most of you probably don't think of ballet when you think of me and I. But here was the amazing thing. We went out for dinner with these two men, and we just had the most awesome time. At one point in the dinner, the conversation was so lively and interesting that I said, how weird is this, right? An evangelical pastor with two people who are living as gay people. And by the way, I don't believe in calling someone their sin. And otherwise, we should all be like, hi, I'm a liar. You know? Hi, I'm an arrogant, you know the rest. And so I don't think anybody should be labeled by their sin. And we all have, the Bible says we all fall in many ways. This is why we don't judge. We all need Christ's forgiveness. Someone say amen. So we're having this dinner with these two guys, and I was just like, how weird is this? You know, an evangelical pastor with these two guys, and we all laughed, and we had just had the most awesome time. And you know, I left thinking to myself, that was really different than what I anticipated, because I thought I was going to have a chance to show them so different than me. I thought that I was going to have the experience of being charitable, but you know, I had the experience of really feeling their charity toward me and my wife. And I have done similar things through the years, but I find myself thinking, I wish I'd done that more. I wish I'd got outside of my little club, my little group of people, and I wish I'd got with some people who vote differently than I do and believe differently than I do and live differently than I do, because the love of Christ transcends it all. Amen. When someone says that the... Was that a clap time? When someone says that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, what they're saying is, regardless of the road you've been on, this is where it has to take you. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us. Come on, last word. The iniquity of us, of us all. And that's why we can welcome without judgment. Jesus welcomes all who come to him. Hey, jot down these two references. I think they'll really help you. They've made things so clear for me. Here's the first one. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. How clear is that? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not assess your own opinion and the opinion of others and superficially default to, I must be right. I'm always right. I love the way I think.
Now that's fairly clear, right? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Anybody need me to break that down for you? Let me go a word at a time. Do not be. Now this is the awesome stuff we come to Harvest for, right? Do not be wise in your own eyes. And here's the New Testament parallel to that. Philippians 2:3. Esteem others better than yourself. How's that going? Yeah, I'm preaching against the culture today, right? Esteem others better than yourself. And then it goes on to say, let that mind be in you which was in Christ. I mean, how did he do all this? How did he go to that Pharisee's house? How did he let that woman do what she's about to do? How did he let all that happen? And that was the mind of Christ, esteeming others better than myself. So when I see someone who I think maybe they've done some things I would never do, but they're better than me. When I see someone who looks different than the people who sleep under my roof, they must be better than me. That's an awesome, freeing, joyful. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you're like, well, of course they cut me off. They're better than me. Thank you for fixing that problem. Why was I in front of you in the first place? Now, someone should be confessing, this I can never do. But we're working on it. This is what we do. We welcome without judgment. We welcome without hasty, superficial assessment of our own superiority that doesn't square with the facts. Then this. Jesus Christ welcomes all who come to him. Religious hypocrites offer only selective welcome with judgment. Watch what happens here. This is so awesome. So this lady shows up with this kind of alabaster. It's a stone. So she has a stone jar with some ointment, something soothing. The roads were filthy. The host or hostess was supposed to at least provide water for them to wash their own feet, if not wash their feet. This guy, he's not doing that. But the woman standing behind him at his feet. So remember I said he's kind of laying out, and so she's not at his head. She's at his feet, but she's behind him. Why? Because she feels shame. And how do I know? Because she's weeping. And somehow when you get, I mean, just imagine what it would be like to be in the Lord's presence. Wouldn't you have pretty quickly a sense of your own sinfulness if you were like this far from Jesus Christ? Don't you believe, how many people believe that? Don't you think you'd be immediately like, oh my gosh, he's right there? And you'd want to cover yourself. You'd want to hide because you would know that he knows everything. But see, he's here at church right now and he knows. And how does he feel about this foolish superiority that we constantly put on? Not this woman, though. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. So she's weeping profusely. How many times have you cried like that in your whole life? And the water is pouring down out of her eyes upon his feet. And then now, because she's kind of starting to lose it a bit, she's like, ah. And so she's wiping with her hair his feet, knowing how pure and holy he is and how she is not. Wiping his feet, kissing his feet. What words had that mouth spoken? Where had this woman been? And now she's anointing the feet of Jesus Christ, putting something soothing upon his feet after cleaning them with her tears. Now when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, Okay, so here's the woman over here, and you all look at the woman like here, like it's the piano. Look at the woman like what you think the Pharisee was looking at this woman, wiping, weeping, crying. Come on, come on, just give that look, like, right? Everyone's like, he's like, this was not in the plan, man. So he had Jesus over to his house. So he had to give an invitation. He had to have a plan for the meal. They probably made a lot of those fancy sandwiches, you know. So if this ever happens, I really like the rolled up bread thing with the peanut butter squirrely and then the banana part in the middle. That just kills. Have you ever made those? It's probably online. You could Google it. And when you have somebody over to your house, you go out of your way. Am I right? You make a plan. And I'm going to tell you, a prostitute crying and kissing Jesus' feet was not in the plan. And so he assesses it all wrongly. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, some of the dumbest things we say to ourselves. So he's kind of muttering, if this man were, which is amazing because you'd think that he'd go after the lady or maybe go after himself for, you know, not having better security at the door or something. He doesn't go after the lady. He doesn't go after himself. He goes right to the top here. He goes after Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him. She's a sinner. Now, that's wrong on a lot of points. But probably the place where it's wrong to the greatest degree is in his assessment of himself. Because upon seeing overtly the failure of another, the right response, the first response, the fast response should be, I'm no better. Paul said, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you've received it, why would you boast as though you've not received it? Right? On Saturday night, I was preaching on the favor of God. And the Bible says that the favor of God makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. And how foolishly and frivolously we forfeit the favor of God through just stupid decisions. And by the time I was done preaching, it seems like before I even gave a chance for response, a guy came right down to the front, and then several more, and the men were singing, and I put my hand on the shoulder of the man who had arrived there first, and I said, you know, brother, why are you here? And he just blurted out three or four things that you wouldn't want a lot of people to hear, and I was glad that he said it. It didn't bother me one bit. And honestly, my own heart was, that's so awesome. Let's just all be open. Let's just get his forgiveness. But he said it so loud that I was afraid that other people had heard. And I know how all of us can tend to be, and I didn't want them to form an opinion about him. And so the Lord must have helped me because he said it, and I wasn't even sure if my mic was on or who all heard it. But before I could even stop myself, what came out of my mouth was, I am this man. I am this man. And it was pretty awesome what happened because others started to do the same thing. And then, well, I didn't realize that they had recorded this. They don't have the whole video, but they have the audio. So here's a little highlight, but you can hear actually what happened. Listen to this. Come on, everyone, say it.
I am this man.
I am this man.
I am this man.
I am you. I have struggled with the same things you've struggled with, if not the exact same things, certainly in kind.
I am this man.
I am you. I have struggled with what you have struggled with, and you have come seeking God's forgiveness. And many men were bowing and kneeling in other places, praying about the exact things that you were praying about.
I am this man.
We struggle with like you do, but we are loved and we are forgiven.
I am this man.
And look, that's what it has to come back to, all right? Every person here who loves the Lord has to be cultivating a sense of, that's me. That's me. Different in specifics, the same in principle. All of us are fallen. All of us are in need of grace. All of us have found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is the basis upon which we can welcome without judgment, because I am that woman, I am that man, Now, some will say, well, but I've never done that or that. Well, all sin is the same, and all sin is not the same. Some sin is more perverse, has greater consequences, but all sin is the same in the sense that if it's not brought under the finished work of Christ on the cross, it is enough to send you or me to hell. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now that is the mindset that leads to a healthy, life-giving, gospel-sharing, disciple-making church. And this is a message about us. This is what we do. We welcome without judgment. Let's finish the story. I'm at verse 40 now. Jesus has said what he's going to say. And the story begins in verse 41. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, 500 denarii, bottom line, 2 years average wage today. 50 would be like, call it 2 months. So think, one guy owes 2 months' pay, one guy owes 2 years' pay. One would be hard to pay, the other one would be impossible to pay for most of us. So here's this guy, he's a banker, whatever. He has these two people. One owes a good amount, one owes a scary amount. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Which of them will love him more? He said to Simon. Simon answered, oh, the one I suppose for whom he canceled the larger debt. He said, you've judged rightly. Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon. That's an awesome part. So who's he talking to? Lest there be any doubt, this lady down here by his feet with the tear puddle and the messy hair, that lady, the melting down over her own shame lady. So he, let me just read it. Then, turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Now, was he asking Simon if he was blind? Was he asking him? By the way, I hadn't had a chance to ask you, are you blind? Was that what he, come on, was that what he was asking? No. He knows he sees her, but he doesn't see her. Doesn't see the way Jesus sees. He said, do you see her? What a great question. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. It's a very common thing to greet in that Eastern culture, similar today, with a kiss on the cheek. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Bam. In other words, look up here. My sense of how much I've been forgiven is the thing, is the thermostat on the heat of my judgment toward others. And when I feel like I've been forgiven a lot, I'm not putting the heat on others. When I feel like, man, no wonder he saved me. I mean, look what I'm doing. I mean, nice play on his part. He really recruited a winner when he got me. Right? And the sense of my own righteousness is what heightens my judgment of others. Make a note of this. Forgiven sinners are broken over their own need for Christ's welcome. They're just thinking about how much they need him. They're not assessing others at all. In fact, every person here, every person listening on one of our campuses right now, every person who will watch this in another church, every person who will hear this on radio or watch this on television in the future, listen, every person is either the Pharisee who thinks they're better than Jesus or the sinful woman who knows that they need his forgiveness. You're one of those two. So which one are you? You're either the Pharisee who's like, well, this is for some people, but I don't really need this. I'm kind of above all that. Of course, he couldn't have been more wrong. You're like, well, James, I mean, okay, so don't judge others. But I mean, sometimes we have to judge, right? The true or false? Sometimes we have to judge, true or false? I mean, when you decide not to hire somebody, that's a judgment. If you're an employer and you have to let somebody go, that's a judgment. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. There is some assessing that has to go on. So I wanted to give some real clarity here. Let me give you these four things. Don't judge means, number one, never judge broadly. Okay, so the further it is from your mirror, the further it is from your house, the further it is from your small group, okay, the further it is from your church, the less of an opinion you're going to have about it. That's why 1 Peter 4:17 says that judgment should begin at the house of God. If we want to be focused in our assessments, let us focus on ourselves. And then upon our dear, trusted, close brother in the Lord, maybe. And let's be helpful to one another. So never judge broadly. Then this is huge. This right here is worth the whole message coming to you now. Never judge motives. Never. Never say, and I mean never. Can I break down the word never for you? Never say, I know why they, never say it, never, okay? Because that's what really sets God off. You can see a person's behavior and you can't even totally assess that, but let's just all acknowledge what we can't see. Man looks on the outward appearance, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord looks on the say. That's God's territory. Only God knows why she's like that. Only God knows why he's struggling. Only God knows why that's so hard. Come on, somebody lift up their voice with conviction and say, I don't know. Come on, say it. I really don't know. And when I say I know, I'm ascribing to myself a characteristic that belongs only to the Lord. Romans 1 Corinthians 11:30 says that if we would judge ourselves, how different things would be if we would just judge ourselves. Romans 14:10 says, why do you judge your brother? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The same measure that you use is going to be used on you. Never judge broadly. Never judge motives. Here, never judge quickly. Never judge quickly. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time, for the time is coming when the Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. So I don't know everything. I don't even know the deed. I don't have all the facts. If you ever look at something and you say to yourself, what on earth? The reason you can't figure it out is because there's information missing. And that's why we don't judge. because we don't have all the facts, and then never judge broadly or motives or quickly or harshly. Never judge harshly. Never judge harshly. Judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. And as we learned in Luke 6:38, the same measure that we use will be used on us. All right. So verse 48, 47 says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, what a great moment. And then he turns to the woman and he says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Come on, how awesome is that? Think of all the places she'd been, all the men she'd been with, all the things she'd said and done, and the shame that she felt about it all. And Jesus Christ, if her sins were on a laptop, he hit delete. If her sins were written in the sky, the wind blew the clouds away. If her sins were on an etch-a-sketch, he shook it. If her sins were in the sand on a shore, he sent a big wave crashing down upon the record. And as the water receded into the sea, the record was gone. And he said, "Your sins are forgiven." How awesome. Then they who were at the table began to say among themselves, "Who's this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you." See, salvation's by faith, amen? Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So that's the end of it. Are we like Jesus, welcoming without judgment all who come to our church? Here's the message in one sentence. We become the arrogant Pharisee, the judgmental Pharisee, as we forget that we are the sinful woman. So we must remember that we are the sinful woman so that we can welcome others without judgment. This is what we do. When a family arrives at our house for holidays and seems to have forgotten all the things that they've done to hurt us, we welcome them without judgment and we sit at our table with them. This is what we do. When a person at the office scoffs at your faith but then always seems to want to drop by and talk to you, you let all of that go and you welcome them without judgment. When your neighbor calls and asks for something else, seems to be oblivious to the hardship that they're causing you, you don't mention a word of it, and you welcome them again without judgment. And when you'd rather hurry into church and hurry out again because you were just here for yourself, you're reminded that all around you are people who today it was as hard for them to come to church as it was for you on your first day. And you move a little slower, look around a little more, and you make sure that you're welcoming without judgment. To all races in our church, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. To all sexual orientations attending our church today, we need Christ's forgiveness too. To all strata of society, from the proud rich to the downtrodden poor, you are welcome here without judgment. Wherever you live, whatever you drive, wherever you work, we all have the same disease called sin. And we have all found in Christ the same grace and the same forgiveness. We all need it, and we've all found it in Him. And so we offer it to you warmly and without judgment. This is what we do. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, thank you for this meditation upon this wonderful story and where I say I because I hope that you're praying with me, where I have been harsh in my assessment of others, where I have been falsely superior, given what you and I know to be true, please forgive me and make me a greater part of the awesome work that you're doing here in this church. I want to be one of those. Everywhere I go, like Jesus, welcoming without judgment. Help us, we pray, in His name. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged through this teaching from God's Word. Thanks for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving. Loving God and loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership and make these podcasts possible. If you are not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church family, consider an alternative. Check out our new Home Church Network at homechurchnetwork.global. For ministry information, more Bible teaching, and other resources, visit jamesmcdonaldministries.org.